People really seem to enjoy episode one of the new season.
I've already heard about it from a couple of people.
And this is where we do that thing that we always have to do, that we never like to do, where we say simply, hey, tell your friends about the show.
Yeah, we enjoy having all of you at the dinner table. We enjoy the interaction as we run into you or we Facebook with you, whatever it is, all the different places you can interact with us. We love every single one of them.
You know, it's time for you to start getting onto some other social platforms besides Facebook. Maybe some TikTok. Come on, it's time to catch up with the times. Hey, pull up a chair. We've got a lot to talk about. You have an off button?
Yeah, apparently. Because I was like, oh my God, out in the garden doing all my stuff, work, you know, come in, getting some snacks, talking, watching the chef's table thing over there, excited about it.
We already have one show that's ours currently, and that's that new Lord of the Rings.
Yes.
Power of the Rings.
I think I snoozed off with that one the other day, too.
Then
it's so
you go,
hard.
While I have cook, and you've got free reign over the television, I guess you've worn out all of your dating shows because then
and
you start this show without me and you're gonna watch this one without me.
No,
I don't blame you. It's
well,
good.
I'm gonna watch it.
And chef's table
but
pizza.
But yeah, I was sitting there and I thought, oh, you know what, we gotta record the podcast, and then I came
I could have easily melted into the couch.
I was melting. I was like, I'm done. And then I was like, oh wait, hold on, we still have more to do today.
It is day 9 of our Whole30 adventure.
I'm actually really enjoying it. There's nothing I'm missing right now that has been taken away from me or that has been stopped in this.
You're not missing anything?
Nothing. There's nothing I'm missing. Now, I'm not saying that there aren't times of the day where I'm like, man, I wish I had a salty snack. Okay, well, what salty snacks do I have? Open up a jar of homemade pickled okra, eat a boiled egg with salt and pepper on it. I don't know. I'm not missing anything. My little seaweed snacks.
Like I said, you can have those.
My mom took some over to my dad.
Yeah.
Because he likes salty snacks like me too.
Well, he's also really sticking with the Whole30 rules as best he can. Like your mom said last
week. I mean, they're
already
done with it. But he's, she said that not only did he spit it out, but he also washed his tongue. Like, everyone's like, you can keep that cat food.
Right. Paper thin pieces of seaweed.
With salt and flavors or whatever on
them. I went to Natural Grocers yesterday and found you a new flavor or two.
As one of the little packages of marketing says, they're strangely addictive.
Yeah.
They are. I love them.
There's all kinds of things we bought and prepared to get ready for Whole30.
I've stopped eating so many nuts. That's the one thing that I'm just kind of like, meh, that's just too filling.
I am the same way. The first day or two of it, we're going to get all into it. Mm-hmm. But the first day or two of it, I had bought into your notion that we were going to starve to death, that there wouldn't be enough food. And I grazed all day. And then finally, I went to my Whole30 website, said, be sure to have 3 square meals and not graze all day.
I don't graze all day. I don't eat till 2 o'clock in the afternoon.
Sure.
But days.
But the first day or two of this, we were grazing. I mean,
not
I
early.
Watched us.
I wasn't in the
daytime. No, in the evening.
No, I still graze.
If all day is where you're getting hung up, we were grazing.
No, I still graze.
Now, before the Whole30 bus pulls out of the station, I'm getting more and more excited about the Dinner Table Talk Salon.
I know, right?
I'll tell you why. Last week I said that between then and when we serve the food, we will be able to come up with some fantastic gourmet shit Whole30 food.
Yes.
We are getting there quickly.
Yes, we're cooking so much food, you guys. Okay, the Dinner Table Talk Salon is on September the 24th. Mm. 3 courses, farm to table, several hours of the dinner table talk?
Yeah, it's going to be fantastic. If you live
great
in the South
food.
Texas area, jump on it quick because we're about to push it out to everybody.
Farm to table, Whole30.
Maybe a seaweed snack appetizer.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure that's what they want. I was thinking more of like baba ganoush and homemade potato chips.
We've got a lot of food to talk about.
Exactly. Then somewhere else we could do some of these cool Whole30 recipes we're about to talk about. Is the Long Lunch Club on September the 28th, and really excited to have those kicking back off again in fall. And I don't want to spend a ton of time talking about it today, but we do have the Fall Farm Day coming up on October the 29th, and you guys, this is going to be serious first step and something massive. I'm so excited. We have the beekeeper coming to talk. We have Justin Duncan coming to talk. Ah, you guys, we have food. We have lunch boxes, farm to table style. So much going on. Go over to my website, acelyncampbell.com, to check out all of that stuff and any of that you're interested in, and to get your Dinner Table Talk Salon seats. Get them quickly because they'll sell out fast.
I've seen the schedule for Day at the Farm.
Oh, yeah. Joe's going to be doing a chicken talk, by the way.
It looks like ACL, the music festival, but instead of stages and bands, it's locations on the farm and awesome gardening information.
So much fun.
Local food information.
Great farm store.
I was thinking
lots of farm products.
We could do a dinner table talk something where we record something at a period of time together that appears then on the show.
That's an interesting concept. Kind of a live at the day on the farm dinner table talks.
Yes.
I love it. I also think there's the opportunity for those types of things to pop up at the salons as well. I think that's going to be some fun time.
We covered day one of Whole 30 last week. Mm-hmm. What have we been doing in between? The first thing I did after your mom's tips and tricks was I boiled a bunch of eggs.
Yep.
Again, you're fearful that you're not going to have enough snack foods around.
Yep.
I went to the store and bought every fruit under the sun, one of each. Mm-hmm. I loaded you up with seaweed snacks. Yep. I didn't go to Sam's, but it looked like I had gone to Sam's. I bought us a bunch of different seltzers.
Yeah.
I made me a pitcher of tea.
Mm-hmm. I've been making my own hibiscus tea.
And then you've harvested a crap load of fruit.
So that's been really nice. I've got cucumbers. I've got the tromboncinos. I've got the okra, of course. And
well, I was talking about your cantaloupes.
Oh, yeah.
And your watermelon.
Oh, my fruits. Well, it's all fruit, I guess. But yeah, the melons have been beautiful. The watermelons have been beautiful. Everything has been nice that's been coming out of the gardens right now.
And then I bought...
We have like every kind of fruit you can imagine in our refrigerator
I was about to say, I bought a new set of Tupperwares because you give all of ours away.
he goes one day, he goes, what is that? I can't figure out where all of our Tupperware... Oh, I was like, oh, I give it away.
Yeah.
He's like, what? I was like, it's just easy. I put stuff in it and I give it away.
Beautifully organized in the refrigerator. The Tupperware with the washed cherries. The Tupperware with the grapes.
Yes.
The Tupperware with the mango and the dragon fruit.
Yep.
The Tupperware with the pineapple.
Watermelon, cantaloupe. There's plums, there's mangoes. I'm serious, you guys, we have it all.
I don't like pineapple. And I'm going to get over that. This stamp my foot, I'm not going to eat that because it looks weird, tastes weird, texture weird, da-da-da.
You know what? I think
100%
that,
palate
I think
is
that
my
it's
goal.
Possible that the food thing could actually be a very easy one to begin to unpack. And so maybe that's the reason why I'm telling people, like, let go of your childish phobias of food.
Well, I'm going in with both feet on, say, pineapple, one that I have skipped at the buffet for as long as I can remember.
Yeah.
I'll grab a strawberry, I'll grab a cantaloupe, but I do not want pineapple.
Why is it that you wholesale are rejecting fruit?
Oh, I can't tell you why I do it, but it's dumb.
Do you think it has something to do with like canned pineapple being served?
I don't know.
A lot of things you were doing?
It's the texture of pineapple, the texture of celery. When I in my mouth, I don't like the way that they feel.
But the pineapples we've eaten, do they feel like that? Because they're not, they're so soft. A good pineapple is
I'm barreling through. I'm getting over it. By the time this 30 days is over, I'm going to say, you know what? I love pineapple. Give me more pineapple.
The big one for me is okra. Everyone needs to get over your okra fit, especially if you live in South Texas, because someday you might have to live off okra. And I'm not even kidding.
I've made okra three different ways in the last 8 days.
Exactly. Because every day you go, well, what kinds of veggies do you have out of the garden today? And I'm like, well, I've got okra.
Egyptian okra?
I like that a lot. This is okra and tomatoes, but fantastically better with better seasoning and everything. And it's called Egyptian okra instead.
It's caught tomato paste, lemon, in addition to the pepper and tomatoes and okra.
A traditional okra and tomato southern style, I will eat it, and I've eaten it well done. My family makes it pretty good. However, it's not one of the ones that I put at the top of the list of things that I'm like, yeah, do that with okra.
Right. Now, that's going to be fried okra, period.
At the top of the list?
At top of the list.
At the top of the list, honestly, it's always put it on the salad. Cut up raw and put it on the salad.
On top of my list, fried okra.
Yeah.
Now, the number two is what we did tonight.
That was really good. It turned out real nice.
I'll skip ahead to one of the unanswered questions, which was, did you make the Whole 30 mayonnaise?
Mm.
And yes, I did. I did it tonight in order to make an aioli that we could dip our oven-grilled crispy okra fries into.
Mm-hmm.
Super simple. 375 oven, grease your baking sheet, cut your okra in half lengthwise, mix it in a bowl with avocado oil, an oil I picked up for Whole 30, mm-hmm. and then turmeric, salt, pepper, cumin, probably garlic powder and onion powder all together, spice mix, mm-hmm. single layer on your baking sheet, and cook them for 30 to 40 minutes. And they came out crispy like a french fry. It was great.
They were great.
That's now my number two way to do okra. I'm considering serving this at the salon, like that good.
Good, because it was that good.
But I've learned a new favorite in the fruit category.
Uh-huh.
Your mom last week mentioned dates.
Oh, yep.
So I bought for the first time they sell a little Tupperware thingy of dates pitted at the grocery store. Dates are now my new favorite thing.
I think they're okay. I think they're nice to have well, I'll tell you that it's better probably than the piece of chocolate that I usually eat before I go to bed at night. I mean, it's become the replacement for that.
It's a sugar bomb. It's like a gummy bear. Mm-hmm. Dates.
This makes me feel like we're getting a little bit old. But at the same time...
What, dates?
Eating dates, like, that date was so good. Oh, it was the best date. I went to the store, I bought us some more dates.
The Whole 30 so far, I've learned to begin getting over pineapple, and I've learned about dates. This is a fantastic, fantastic exercise.
A whole new world.
I would encourage someone to try this, actually.
Oh, absolutely.
I think what we're talking about is a good primer for anyone that wanted to try. You do have to prepare. Because everything changes. I went to a lunch with a buddy of mine. Mm-hmm. And I had kind of resigned myself to eat a salad with oil and vinegar wherever I went. Because I just didn't want to accidentally, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. That'll get me fine to dinner. And at dinner, I'll eat a bunch of dates. Mm-hmm. Or grapes. Grapes are number two.
Gorging on dates and grapes. How's your poo coming out, love?
I was going to actually talk about this. Wonderfully. I've eaten more vegetables and fruits in the last 8 days than probably the last 8 weeks, even though we eat a lot of fruits and vegetables around here. But right now, imagine going to the grocery store, our superstores that we've got, and the only thing available in this grocery store was stuff that you could eat on Whole 30. How much smaller would the grocery store be?
Yeah, I remember what that used to be like. I mean, I'm not sure I remember what that used to be like, but I've seen the pictures of it.
So with my buddy, I went to lunch and we landed on a poke restaurant. Mm-hmm. I couldn't have any of the sauces that they offered. I even went, hey, yeah, I'll take the sriracha. Whoa, whoa, whoa. And I Googled sriracha.
Yeah.
Sugar.
Tamari. Tamari is the answer.
That was not listed as a sauce, but I would have asked.
The reason I know that, and you could have asked for that, and I'm sure that they do have it. But the reason I know that is because my friend Robert and Sophia that we've talked about, they did the goat roast back at the farm day that we did in the spring.
Right. The goat roast.
She does a very strict, like, lifestyle all the time, almost nearly Whole 30 diet. And he was saying that she's got a bottle of Tamari in her purse with her everywhere she goes. I thought that was cute.
Unanswered questions.
Asen, I don't know how you're going to react to this, but in order to discuss our first unanswered question, which was, did the legislative branch pass the daylight savings into...
Right.
I printed out a news article.
Yeah. I already knew I was wrong when I had to listen to myself be wrong on the podcast last week. And the most disappointing part is not being wrong. Listen, I'm learning to transmute this gut pain that's inside of me where I'm all like irritated because I'm wrong about something. Like
right.
I feel this pain in my stomach right now. It's a little fireball and I'm all, dang, I'm wrong. But honestly, the worst part about this whole deal is that it didn't happen.
This is from The Hill, a website called The Hill. It's a politics news website. Mm-hmm. I did not check to see where it fit on the partisan meter.
Yeah, I know.
From July 25th, more than 4 months after the Senate unanimously passed a bill to make daylight saving time permanent in the U.S., the measure has hit a brick wall in the House.
Of course. And when they do it that way, it's purposeful. Like that, the Senate knows the House is not going to pass it. That's the reason why they pass it, to get to be the good guys that passed it.
Now you tell me.
This bullshit.
The main impediments dimming the legislation's chances of passing appear to be fundamental disagreements over its language and a general consensus that other matter take precedence as the House grapples with high inflation, gun massacres, and fending off judicial threats on issues such as abortion and marriage equality. Now that's the second paragraph of an article about permanent daylight savings times.
I hate them.
You don't hate anybody.
I don't hate it with some kind of like vengeful war type feeling. I hate it. Like, I hate it so much that it should just all fall apart and just go away. That's how much I hate it. That part of it. I'm okay with that. Like, so there's a real, you know, that pit of pain in my stomach I was talking about a little minute ago.
Right.
It's all tied to the same thing. It's kind of these failing systems that really, really, really set me on fire.
My problem with the media, and someone could rebut, well, they need to tell us about these things.
Oh, you're complaining about the media. I'm simply complaining about the freaking politicians that can't do their job.
I just don't think that any of that second paragraph was required. But they want to list it out so that we can be reminded of how fearful we should be. Okay.
Yeah.
The Senate created a buzz in March when it approved the Sunshine Protection Act, which would make daylight saving times permanent through unanimous consent.
You know what? I don't even care about this. But the truth of the matter is that what people need to understand about this whole situation is that this is how it works so often. If the Senate already knows that it's not going to pass in the House, the Senate will vote. They will freaking unanimously vote. And dude, they will look like such good guys because they know that the House wasn't going to pass it anyways because they know there's some specific people that are going to hold out against it for some specific reasons. This is why nothing happens.
Days after Senate passage, some House members started asking for additional research into and discussion regarding the bill, signaling potential headwinds.
Yeah.
And now
signaling. Oh, you mean all those little clerks running back and forth down the halls and yelling things and telling secrets and whispering and gossiping? And yeah, that's what's happening.
A number of lawmakers agree that spring forward and fall back clock changes should be done away with, but they are at odds over what the permanent time should be, daylight savings or standard.
Agreed. I see that as an argument, but I don't give a flying about
it's,
that. Could you please
become a
just
partisan
leave it?
It's going to become a partisan
of course
argument.
It is.
Watch.
Of course it is. If you haven't had a chance to go to session and you live in an area where you like care about voting on things, then you should go to a legislative session one time and watch how it goes down because it is like junior high
student council.
Little kids running the hallways, you guys. It's hilarious. And then you happen to accidentally run into that one House rep that you need to talk to about this one thing. And you basically like corner them in the corner and you see that happening everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
It's a trip if you haven't been. You should go.
You bought a huge bag of poblano peppers from Fruit King, a big local fruit vendor.
Yeah.
Did we do anything with those poblano peppers?
I think we've used them all, haven't we? Maybe there's like two left.
There are two left.
Yeah.
But
I'm proud of
other
us.
Than that, I've been putting poblano peppers in anything that made sense to put a poblano pepper in.
Yep.
But you said, I want poblano chicken soup.
Mm-hmm.
I made some.
Mm-hmm.
I could serve this at the dinner table talk.
Yeah, I think maybe at the long lunch club. We're going to be fighting over dishes now.
This one was fun to do, but it was multi-step and a little tedious.
Uh-huh.
Turn the broiler on your oven and put your poblano peppers on a baking sheet and stick it in the oven. Check it in about 5 minutes. Turn the peppers. You're trying to get them blistered, charred a little bit.
Yep, yep.
Then immediately pop them into either a Ziploc or like a big, big Tupperware. I use the latter. Close the lid and time them while they sit in their steam.
Mm-hmm.
Then take them out and you can peel them more easily. The skin comes off.
Yep.
Take the seeds out. Take the head off of it. Chop it up. Set it aside. Then soup. I love building a soup. In your soup pot goes garlic, bell pepper. No, more poblano pepper. Diced jalapeno. No, one of the habaneros that you picked up.
Yes.
At the same place.
We still need to do something with those.
Oregano, cumin, salt, pepper, broth. And a cup of non-dairy milk. Coconut milk mm-hmm. is what we went with here.
Yep. I like coconut milk.
Your cooked and shredded chicken breast, and then your peppers, right? You're simmering that for 1.5 hours. Slice up an avocado. Chop up yourself some cilantro. Oof. We got to serve this to somebody.
I ate it several times this week.
Are Chris and Bianca coming over to discuss a future farm-to-table dinner to have out here?
They are.
Then I might serve this to them.
We're talking about doing a November harvest abundant farm to table dinner. We haven't had Chef Chris out here in a long time, over a year. It'll be exciting to have him back. Oh my God. Oh, I forgot to tell you this.
What's this?
Okay, a couple of things. Actually, three things. Three big things. I had one of those days. This past week was a little weird because of Labor Day.
Yeah.
Kind of threw me off a little bit.
Yes.
Like, it set me back a day, which set everything back a day, which set everything off a little bit. But it's also rained a lot. And then it broke enough to have like a ridiculous amount of mosquitoes. Either way, long story short, my week has been really kind of slow and different. But then all of a sudden, this one day hit And it was 7 a.m. in the morning, and I'm getting contacted by the post office.
Yes.
That you need to come pick up your 10 baby chicks.
Yes.
So we have 10 new babies now.
Yes, they are chirping happily, all of them alive and healthy.
They're so cute, you guys. Some of them are like really tiny.
Yeah, we order our new chicks in the mail. Mm-hmm. They are hatched and put in the mail the next day.
Yep, Ideal Hatchery. They are in Cameron, Texas. And I am very appreciative of that company and the work that they do.
We put them into what's called a brooder box that has food, water, litter on the bottom. As they begin to grow up out of that, we'll move them to a larger box and then into the outdoor portable coop to eventually be merged with our flock.
Three of them are the Easter eggers, which are the ones that lay the blue eggs. Mm-hmm. And they tend to be brown and black, kind of speckled. Three olive eggers, which tend to be white and black, a little bit speckled. They lay the olive eggs or the green eggs. And the four others are all what's called straight run. So we know that we got six that are hens, and then we got four straight run. So what we're trying to do is get ourselves at least one, maybe two, especially if they're the smaller ones, roosters. If we end up with four roosters, this could get complicated.
Yeah, that'd be too many roosters.
That'd be too many roosters. But we'll see. I'm really excited about the little crested ones because if you go look at them, they're clearly very different than anything we've ever had before because they have this like knob on their head. Mm. It looks like a little, have you touched them yet to
no,
like
no,
feel?
No. I have not. Yeah, you should go like, up.
Yeah, no, I've been picking them up and playing with them the last couple days now. And so I was feeling around those two that have these, they have this funny little bump on their head. And if you look at it, you can see it, but I touch it and it's like, it's not like a poof of feathers. It's like a crown. It's got like a bulb on the top of it.
Interesting.
I know. It's kind of funny.
And they have the afro
feathers.
Whenever
yes.
The, yeah.
So then the day goes on a little bit further and I come to discover that my mom has made a decision to get this farm dog. And she learned that it was a breed that is specifically bred to be a farm dog. And they call them the black mouth curs. Mm. And she looks like she's either straight of that breed or that plus a Labrador, like right. A golden Labrador. She has a really pretty golden Labrador head. Mom, whenever got her, met the person that had rescued her at the vet to collect her, found out she had heartworms and also had a tick disease. So we went ahead and brought her home and we'll start working on treating her. But now we have a new farm dog. So
Honey.
For those of you, yeah, Honey is her name. For those of you that knew about Maggie, you heard about that happening back in May.
I missed Maggie, man.
Oh, the moment she was gone.
No, but
she
I'm
was
saying that was a long-term yeah. miss because yeah. you would go yep. outside yep. and our dog, Kaishan, mm-hmm. would stay in our house, mm-hmm. go visit your folks, and Poppy and Rosie would stay at their house. Mm-hmm. But the walk in between mm-hmm. or the walk to any garden or yeah. the walk out to the pasture, Maggie was your friend and Maggie was by your side.
Yeah, exactly.
And I missed Maggie.
Yep, her presence was absolutely missed. Mom brought home Honey, and so far, it's feeling really, really, really good.
She's a good dog.
We have to, you know, you have to know all their little tricks yeah. in there when they start to show their anxieties and when they start just, you know, settle right. in and stuff like that. You know, Maggie chewed. That was one of the things that Mom talked about a lot about Maggie. And, you know, she had a rambunctious nature about her, but once she got settled in, she was solid. So we're going to be keeping an eye out on Honey and how to best make her be able to fit here. So when you guys come out here to the farm for some of the events, look forward to meeting Honey here on the farm and getting to know her and how she's fitting into farm life out here as well. And we're happy to have her here. We're happy to have her here and help her deal with the stuff she was dealing with, the illnesses she's dealing with, and then just help her get to have the freedom life that a nice little farm dog needs. So if that wasn't a slow enough day on the farm, our beekeeper friend comes out here, Mike Clement, and he is going to go back and check on the bees. But he brought a beekeeping suit for me to go back there for it.
Oh, you suited up?
Yes.
Head to toe?
Head to toe, the full
cool.
deal.
You
and I went all the way back there. I took a few pictures.
I have not seen those.
I was very nervous, but not nervous about insects because insects don't make me nervous.
The suit made you claustrophobic?
No, okay. No. I just meant like I'm not like scared of bees. But this is a lot of bees, and it is very intimidating when that swarm comes out, and then the second swarm comes out. I mean, I guess it's not a swarm technically, because a swarm means everybody would come out. But when they come out all kind of angry like that, because you're stirring them up, you know? And one of the things he had told me right when we drove up was, oh, they're making a lot of noise. And then he goes, that's not necessarily a good thing. And he's very quiet. It's kind of funny.
Yeah,
he doesn't say anything extra. So then he goes and he looks at the other one. He's like, oh, he goes, yeah, this one looks really good.
Were
and at
you
this
with
point,
him?
Yes.
Okay.
And the bees are coming out and I'm just standing there like, super quiet.
Right.
Like, I guess that's why it's good to be a beekeeper, because you're really quiet. Because he was probably like, she talks all the time. The only thing I have to do is take her out and let the bees out, and she'll stop talking.
Shut her up.
That'll shut her up. So I'm just standing there like, oh my God. And so he's talking and he's telling me, this one looks really good. I'm going to add another box. So basically they're like a two-story condo now. They're about to have a three-story, a third story on their condo.
Okay.
And he said, they're performing really well. He said he doesn't think the other one's performing as well. And normally the sound like that means there's some sort of a pest or something. But there's nothing in that hive that could be causing that in terms of a pest. What he thinks it is that it's a weak queen.
Hmm.
And then he talked a lot about having to go in and get the brood box out and look at the brood box and then make a decision and then what he was going to have to do. And he never came up with a firm, this is what I'm going to definitely do. He said, he basically said, I want to think about it. I want to decide. But potentially what he was saying is that because the queen is not strong enough, we might have to replace the queen. There's a few other things that he could do in terms of strengthening her brood, which is her babies, yeah, basically, and see if you can get the hive strong again like that. Or simply get rid of the queen and merge the two hives. That could be a thing that happens. So we'll see what he decides to come up with. But I'm excited, and I told him I was interested in going back there with him again. And so I'd look forward to telling you guys some more about the beekeeping adventure that's happening here on the farm. We are going to be talking about bees at the Farm Day event on October the 29th as well. So go to my website, reserve your spot now.
Chris and Jessica came over.
Yeah, their ranch is on the way from where they live, and they can go right past us.
Right.
So they actually call me a lot. Chris especially. Chris calls me when he's headed that way.
Right.
Driving by.
Well, this time you drove by with a cooler full of freshly caught fish and shrimp that they hadn't eaten.
Yeah, they're so cool. I love them.
Chris is doing some kind of thing. It was not Whole 30.
Chris is just doing a wellness thing. I may or may not have talked about this before, but Chris actually had to have brain surgery last year, in December of last year. And that was a really big deal for him. He has spent the last year, I mean, I've just seen him.
Yeah.
He's a very successful professional at his career, and it requires him to be on point with his brain and to be busy and to be able to do his work well. So he wants to be able to do that well. He wants to continue being able to do all of the hunting and the fishing and all the offshore this and that and all the cool stuff that he does and traveling mm-hmm. with his wife all over the place because she loves to travel. And so he's staying healthy, he's staying well. And so he's not doing a full Whole 30 diet,
right,
but he's doing a very, very clean diet, and he's doing it kind of on his own routine. So it's like, for 2 weeks I've been doing this, but now I'm going to have a little break because this mm-hmm. little event's coming up.
But he's being militant about it.
Yeah.
And as much fruit and vegetables as we're consuming mm-hmm. and how convenient it is to have it prepared so that you can just go grab it.
Mm-hmm.
He showed me his Ziploc bag full of fresh fruit.
That, yep.
Like, he had a little kit.
Yep.
This is what I take to work.
Yeah. Yeah.
And everyone looks at me crazy.
Yeah.
But what I'm watching happen is, hey, give me a couple more of those cucumbers.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Yeah.
I've been thinking about this during our 8 days here.
Mm-hmm.
I'll go into a convenience store and be able to firmly say out loud that aside from water and nuts, and not peanuts, I can't eat anything in this entire place.
Mm-hmm.
Sparkling water is fine.
Mm-hmm.
Going through that poke line with my buddy and all the things I couldn't have.
Mm-hmm.
The idea, like I said earlier, of the grocery store, if it was just Whole 30 products, how large would the grocery store need to be?
Yeah.
Two aisles in a produce
section.
Pretty
much like a farmer's market. You need a bar of soap. You need a...
Right. I'm in constant thought about this, which I think is part of the design.
Yeah.
Rethinking your relationship with food, really rethinking society's relationship with food.
The way that you've been talking about Whole 30 and the way that you've been bringing it up to me about other things that it's making you think about, look at, you know, the things we're talking about, it's reminding me a little bit of like the permaculture style. The permaculture method isn't just about gardening. It's a lifestyle change. And it's funny to say like Whole 30 isn't just about a diet. It's about a lifestyle change. Like, it's about the whole system and how do we look at the whole system and observe the whole system and see what makes us feel good and what doesn't make us feel good as it relates to mind, body, spirit, the whole system. I love it.
When Chris showed me his big bag of fruit
mm-hmm.
and the way he'd laid out other elements of his lunch in his little cooler, I'm committing myself to doing that next week.
A lot of people
I found
do that.
Myself at the convenience store because I had not really prepared anything mm-hmm. other than buying several large bottles of water to have around. Mm-hmm. So when I go to the convenience store, I'm grabbing pistachios or a bag of cashews or the few things that are available in a place like that. But Chris also dropped off that fresh seafood.
Yeah, he had just been offshore fishing the day before. I was like, what do you have? He had some barracuda, some amberjack, some snapper, and he gave us some barracuda. He was like, I got some plenty of barracuda mm-hmm. for you.
Yeah, we've cooked it that night.
And then some fresh Gulf shrimp they had just gotten while they were out there. I think they ran across a boat, basically. And
right.
Got shrimp.
Straight out of the water.
Yeah.
I take that consistency of fish, that texture of fish, and I like to soak that in lemon juice, mm-hmm. salt and pepper, and then put it out into the lemon juice for as long as, you know, I'm prepping everything else. Doesn't have to be overnight or anything like that.
Yeah.
Quick, hot grill.
Yep.
But I made a lemon basil sauce with half an avocado and then a bunch of your fresh basil.
And then you threw some
lemon,
Swiss chard
oil, salt,
into it
pepper.
Also because I had some. Mm-hmm. I wanted you to... Yeah, that fish was really good. That flavoring was okay. The sauce on top.
Right.
Was okay. But the fish was fantastic, and that simple way of cooking mm-hmm. it and grilling it, it was really nice to have those big chunks of
sure.
white fish.
We didn't need it all. I had it in a Tupperware, and I had that sauce in the Tupperware with the fish.
Uh-huh.
And when I came home a couple nights later, I just picked that Tupperware up and was just eating fish right out of the Tupperware.
That's the way I am.
That's the way this whole 30 is kind of going. There's been these big, elaborate meals, and then kind of like a night of, we've got a bunch of leftovers.
Yep.
I did this thing called a French onion pork chop mm-hmm. in the cast iron,
yep.
coconut cream, not milk, along with chicken broth as the underlying sauce, mm-hmm. with some onions that I had sauteed on low for about 20 minutes until they were just this mush, you know, mm-hmm. and just nothing but flavor.
Very good.
Sear your pork chops and put them in there and simmer it for a little bit. I'll post all these recipes.
And then I made baba ganoush because I have a ton of beautiful little eggplants.
You stole those eggplants from me. I had come up with a plan for those eggplants.
Oh, that's funny. You come home and you're like, yeah, I'm going to use those eggplants. I'm like, no, you're not. I made baba ganoush today.
Your baba ganoush was fantastic.
It's really good. And part of the deal is, and this is what the chef table people are talking about, the ingredients have to be perfect. Well, my vegetables, they have to be the perfect, young, fresh, thin-skinned, mm-hmm. little bitty, delicious eggplants.
Right, not too big.
And then you do the exact same thing, basically, that you did with the poblano peppers, where you basically roast them a little bit, mm-hmm. and then you let them pop, and then you pull the skin off of them. I did basically the exact same thing. And then I threw all of that into my chopper, and then put the tahini, which is sesame
paste,
butter,
yeah.
basically like peanut butter, but mm-hmm. with sesame instead, mm-hmm. and some lemon and some garlic, and some fresh parsley, and the salt that I used has my red pepper in it, and so it made it a little spicy, which I maybe wouldn't do it that way again the next time, but
I did it. I didn't mind it.
I liked it. And then, of course, a lot of cimino and a lot of paprika. It's really, really good. And you made some potato chips because I was like, well, technically, my Siete brand potato chips meet the guidelines,
right.
but we're not supposed to eat. We're not supposed to just buy chips, apparently. This is one of the Whole 30 things, which I get it.
This is the thing I've had to explain the most to people.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, plantain chips. Yeah, we should get a bag of those. Okay, in addition to
right.
the foods we're not supposed to eat, the other practice that we're not supposed to do is just go pick up a bag of convenient
processed
foods.
Something or another.
Even if it's plantain chips or potato chips.
Seaweed chips, but I don't care what they
say. But you can make your own.
Exactly. You can make your own. And I was like, well, you make really good ones. You made some. So
your mom said something about a plantain chip press. I need to go ask her more about this because it's time to make some plantain chips.
Yeah, and she's wanting to make some different types of chips using like maybe the tromboncino squash
yeah.
or a zucchini or
this is
something
not
else
hard.
Like that.
It is time consuming. Get your mandolin and dial it down to the thinnest you can make it. And your potatoes. I had bought a
just
bag
like
of
that.
Red potatoes at the
farmer's
market.
Yeah.
Is that better?
Yeah, I don't know. That one, try that. Or
it's like. Like
oh.
I get them as thin as I can. Uh-huh. And then you put them in iced salt water for half an hour.
That's good.
Drawing the starch out.
Yeah.
Lay out your paper towels, and I put them all out, single layer, blot the top, you're trying to get as much water off of them as you can.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Into your hot grease, 375, 3-4 minutes a batch. Mm-hmm. I learned that I could get 25 slices of potatoes in a batch.
Uh-huh.
And then as they come out, you had said, hey, duplicate a Lowry's seasoning.
Look up the recipe. Lowry's seasoned salt. And see, because that's some of my favorite potatoes that I've ever eaten, like at the Grist Mill in Green, mm-hmm. Texas.
That's basic.
That's, yeah. It's their sliced French fry potatoes, but then they use the Lowry's salt to season it with.
Copycat.
Yeah.
Sugar.
It has sugar in it.
Left the sugar out.
Left the sugar out. And cornstarch, right? You left the cornstarch out.
You didn't
out
need
as
it
well,
because
right?
The cornstarch is to prevent it from caking inside the
right.
jar.
So, what is it that's in this Lowry seasoning that's so good?
I'm too tired to answer off my memory, so I'm going to gong it right
it
now.
It was definitely paprika.
And as those hot, to have a little grease on them, potato chips come out, you kind of instantly season them.
Yeah.
And set them aside.
Then you asked whether you could do some of my dill pickle salt. What do you think about that? And I was like, no, it's not as dill pickly as I would like. And then we had a whole conversation about my salt and how I'm going to start doing the 80-20, which basically means I'm going to do 80% of the like ingredients and then 20% salt, because that's what ends up making the flavor really
right.
kick ass. I said, okay, just go ahead and do some of them. You guys, I was wrong. My dill pickle salt is so delicious on my dill pickled fried little
dill
chips.
Dill pickle potato chips.
Oh my God.
I might serve those at Dinner Table Talk Salon.
That means I'm going to have to make some baba ganoush because eggplant season is happening. So that makes some sense. I'm just saying. And I'm definitely going to make some more dill pickle salt whenever I have some more dill.
Let's bring this episode home with our random question of the week.
All right, so are we doing this random question thing again this season?
Well, we did it last week.
Okay, well, let's do it again then.
Okay.
I think we should do it again then.
It seems to work. Are you going to ask me?
Yeah. I'm supposed to ask you?
Yeah. Look at your script. Son asked Joe.
You never tell me the rules.
Okay.
So, do that little thing where you look at your Google history and
okay.
it tells us what's the last thing you searched on Google.
That's the question.
Yes. What did you last search on Google?
Oh, yeah. Chrome, history. The very last thing was daylight savings legislation.
I was going to say it's got to be something about the podcast.
Whole 30 mayonnaise, a bunch of okra recipes. So let me get to something random.
It's not really that funny if you have to go to something random.
Oh.
It's just give your list and if there's anything interesting
yeah,
on
very
it.
Show related.
That's funny.
What's the last thing you Googled?
Hold on. Let me look it up. Amethyst Dublin Celtic Astrology Choker.
Oh.
Celtic birth sign December.
Oh, you're doing a Celtic thing right now.
Flying Dinosaurs.
Really?
Uh-huh.
What was that about?
Well, I saw this thing on TikTok.
Okay.
Where a guy said, nobody asked me how fast I could run in my new shoes. I hate being a stupid adult. And he said, comment with your favorite dinosaur. And I told him that a pterodactyl was my favorite dinosaur because I have wings. You want to see me fly?
What's the Celtic?
Oh, well, that's because I'm getting ready to put my store together, you guys. If you live in the Corpus Christi or the
even,
Portland
this was
area.
This not planned out. I did not know that this was going to be a plug.
Well, it's still going to be a plug.
I think you should plug.
I am entering into one of those booth things where you go into like a thrift store and they have booths and you can sell your stuff.
The antique stores do the same thing.
Yeah, I'm getting a booth in Portland, Texas. So if you live in our area, you could go check it out. It's called My Mom Had That. That's the name of the whole thrift store. I think it's on 181. I actually think the address is 181. I'm going to set up my booth tomorrow morning. I was just looking up. I had this little charm, and I couldn't remember what it was. I'm sure somebody gave it to me for my birthday
something
or something
to sell
like
at your
that.
Store.
Yeah, and I was pulling out things that I was going to put in my store, and I was like, oh, okay. What is? I don't even know what this is. I don't remember what this is. And it's just like a Celtic symbol for your astrological sign for December.
We've got a lot going on.
Mm-hmm.
I guess that's not new.
Yeah, I think we're getting better at choosing, and I think also what we do has shifted, you know? I mean, if you think of what we used to do, we don't have as many kid things to do.
No.
Now we're dealing with stuff with your mom. Mm. Our lifestyle has shifted.
Yeah.
We do different things. Not completely different, because we cook, and we podcast, and we garden, and There's a lot more space. It's funny. I'm addicted to TikTok. I'll tell you guys that. That has happened. I love it. It makes me feel better about life, by the way. And that may change, but currently I love TikTok. And I'm sure everyone has heard this somewhere, seen a meme somewhere about the fact that we just don't have the amount of chaos going on. So we're like setting off chaos sometimes, or we're like seeking chaos. Yeah. Or we're like looking to fill in the spaces.
Right.
You know? And so I have to be really careful. And today, as we're recording this podcast, it's technically 9/9/2022, and a lot of people believe that you can like make cool things happen, because I believe you can make cool things happen with your life if you want to. It's about a lifestyle change.
Well, thank you so much for listening to another episode of Dinner Table Talks. We will be back next Monday with a fresh episode. In the meantime,
hit us up on social media, send us an email, DM us, whatever. We want to hear from you.
And we hope that you're enjoying the episodes as much as we enjoy creating them for you.